the North Pole.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it isn't.
Yes, it is.
No, it's not. Where's the snow?
Why are you smiling like that?
I just like to smile. Smiling's my favorite.
Make work your favorite. That's your favorite, okay?
Okay.
Work is your new favorite.
Fine.
Time for the announcement. Okay, people, tomorrow morning, 10 a.m., Santa's coming to town.
Santa! Oh, my God!
Santa here? I know him. I know him.
He'll be here to take pictures with all the children.
Yeah.
Just keep your receipts. 10 a.m. tomorrow.
10 a.m. tomorrow.
Santa's coming to town.
Yes.
Hey, welcome to Christmas at the Movies. So glad you're here today. Come on. Wow, so good to worship Jesus with you today. And we're just taking a look at different Christmas movies here in the month of December. How many of y'all enjoy Christmas movies? Yeah, how many of you have ever seen the movie Elf? Okay, lots of you. Very, very good. Good. Today's all about Elf. It's about knowing God and knowing not Santa, but knowing Jesus, knowing God. And that is a really, really big deal. I love Christmas music. It's a Wonderful Life is my favorite. Next is the Muppet Christmas Carol. And then I'm not ashamed to say that I really, really enjoy Hallmark movies. I'm about six deep right now. And I don't know if you've seen the one about the executive. No, I'm just kidding. Come on. Very, very good. Yeah, Christmas at the Movies, Elf. Now, if you've never seen this movie, it's a fun movie. It's almost like it's a Christmas modern day classic. It's about 20 years to a little bit, 20 plus years old. And it's Will Ferrell plays this elf, Buddy the Elf. And as a real small toddler, as a child, he crawls into Santa's bag, gets taken to the North, he's an orphan, gets taken to the North Pole, and he's raised by elves. And then at some point, he realizes that he's not really an elf. He's a little taller than the average elf. And so they say his biological dad's in New York, Walter's his biological father, and he is a very selfish businessman. And so he goes on a quest to find his bio dad and get reacquainted with him. So that's kind of the story. It's about outcast. It's about lonely. It's about people who are not of this world. How many of y'all can relate to some of those things already? Come on, yeah. Yeah, it's a story for you and me. And there's this one quote in here that just kind of sums it up. We elves try to stick to four main food groups: candy, candy canes, candy corns, and syrup. That kind of, like, you're getting a picture. For those of you that don't know, this is the picture of the movie here. It reminds me of when we took our one daughter to the doctor, and the doctor said, what's your favorite food? And she said, butter. And the doctor said, well, what else? And she said, butter bread. And the doctor said, well, what else? And she said, buttered noodles. It was a theme. As a matter of fact, I remember one Christmas Eve, we were at my parents' home years ago, and she was having trouble finishing the last three bites of the pork loin that she had to eat to get cookies. And she was having trouble, and she was pulling out all the stops Christmas Eve. And so my mom found the solution. She buttered the pork loin. She ate it, no problem. Yeah. So that kind of sums up the movie right there. And so it's all about fun. It's about joy. And so in the movie, there's a code of elves. There's a code of elves. And so the code of elves is treat every day like Christmas. There's room for everyone on the nice list. And the best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. Okay. So I just think this would be fun. Let's all say these three out loud together. You with me here? Come on, y'all ready? Here we go. Treat every day like Christmas. There's room. The Now, some of y'all, you got a little bit of joy in your heart when you weren't even sure what that was about, but something happened inside. It just got a little bit happier. Come on. Yeah, so here, that's the coat of elves, but here's the big idea for the day. Here's the big idea scripturally here, and the big idea is this. The coat of Christmas is to experience good news, great joy, and going and telling all people. So if you could say the coat of elves, you could say these things. Here we go. Good news. There it is. That's the coat of Christmas here. And that's what we kind of want to uncover here. Now, I don't know if you realize this or not, but Christmas is the great multiplier. It multiplies everything we're going through. It really, really is. Yeah, come on. Calendars are full. They're filled to capacity, right? Finances are low. Emotions are on edge. And so what do you do when Christmas joy isn't there? And what do you do when God doesn't feel near? And what do you do with this? Like, I know that I'm supposed to have great joy, but where's all the great joy at? Has anybody ever related to that? I have. You know, Decembers haven't always been a great joyful time. For many of us, it's the truth. For whatever reason, they can not be the most happiest time of the year. They can be filled with a little tension. And we know we're supposed to have joy, but what gives us joy? And we kind of want to take a look at this and uncover this together because just like Buddy the Elf was anticipating Santa's arrival, the story of Advent and Christmas and going through December is about expecting and anticipating the arrival of Jesus. So we're going to take a look at the shepherds today. And here we go in Luke chapter 2, verse 8. That night, there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. And suddenly, an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. And they were terrified. But the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring joy to all people." Let's just say that together. Good news that will bring great joy to all people. I just love this part. Come on. Good news that will bring great joy to all people. Yes, that's the message here. And then in verse 11, it says what this good news is really all about. Here it is. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth, lying in a manger. So I love good news. How about you? Somebody just sent me an email the other day, and they felt inclined to list every horrible thing that's happening in the world right now. It was a lengthy email. As a matter of fact, when I went into the email, I was feeling pretty good. And by the time I read it, there was the things I knew about, and there was a whole bunch of things I didn't know about happening in the world. And by the end of that email, I had to readjust my helmet of salvation. It was a little crooked. So we all could use some good news. And the good news is this, is that I used to be on not just the naughty list, I used to be not just on the not nice list, I used to be on the I was heading to hell list. And the good news is Jesus came, and this is the underlying story of Christmas. God with us. No, see, we miss it. We miss this. This underlying story is God with us. I want you to look to your neighbor right now. Look to your neighbor and say, God with us. See, God with us is the difference maker. And the good news is, I was heading to hell, but now I'm heading to heaven because of what Jesus Christ has done. I don't think you get it. That's good news. I think some people in church ought to hear the good news, because they look like they've been attending the prune juice revival. Come on. And so we gotta get back into the good news of God. And this world is longing for the good news of Jesus Christ. He left heaven. He had a pretty good gig going up in heaven. And he left it for you and me. and he clothed himself with flesh, and he clothed himself with humanity for you and me. He did that for you and me. And I think that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life. That keeps me smiling. That keeps me joyful. God with us. I'm not alone in life here. And great joy. Now, be honest with me. Don't people like Buddy the Elf, and don't people that just constantly are upbeat and joyful, don't some of them irritate you? Especially early in the morning. Not just any kind of joy, great joy. I mean, great, great joy is ours. And could it be that Christmas time is a reminder of the good news and great joy? But we miss it in the midst of all the stuff. I had two conversations just on Friday with people just as I'm going along. It's an easy get. Are you ready for Christmas? Easy get, right? So I'm asking people, are you ready for Christmas? And in two significant conversations, people started immediately going into not gifts they were receiving, but about I getting this, and I got to get this, and if it's going to be a good Christmas as long as I can purchase this, and I don't have much to purchase this year, so it's not really a good Christmas. And it wasn't receiving, but it was even gifts consume us. How many of y'all, be honest with me, you think Christmas would be really, really cool if it wasn't for the gifts? Giving or receiving, I'm being honest. Sometimes it's both. I'm not saying either one's bad, but it's both. But if we get wrapped up in all these things, we're going to miss the great joy. And joy is an awareness of the favor of God. That's what it really is. It's contentment that transcends worldly stuff. That's what real joy really, really is here. Joy is a condition of our heart, not our circumstances. My circumstances do not determine my joy. Joy is because I have the favor of God on my life. And see, when people ask us how we're doing, I still do. I say, I'm doing excellent. If I was doing any better, I'd have to pay more taxes. I'm doing great. How you doing? Better than I deserve, right? But we have to remind ourselves of that. And if we don't remind ourselves of that, that goes. How about this? It is well with my soul. My soul, my will, my emotions, my mind, it's well. My body is catching up to that. Right? My finances are catching up to that. Those things will not determine my joy. It is well with my soul. How about that for a response? Just, it's well with my soul, because joy is a condition of the heart here. That's what it really is. It's the inner confidence and outward characteristic that comes from knowing God, knowing him in the context of a deep and right relationship, being deeply loved and cared for by God. There's nothing you can do to me that doesn't come through the hands of God first. You can try, but it doesn't work. I got this joy here. And that's why we love this, the coat of elves, that last one here. The best way to spread Christmas cheer is singing loud for all to hear. You know what? They're on your seats here. There's an invite to Christmas here. Do you know what the people in your world, the people that in your circle really, really need? The good news and great joy. They need good news and great joy. That's what they need. People at work, friends and family. And so I'm asking you, would you invite them to come on Christmas Eve Eve? And just stop everything for about an hour. And just remember the real meaning of Christmas, God with us. And watch a couple clips from the nativity story. That's what we're asking you to do. Because in church, the only organization on this planet, the only one that can help people get good news and great joy that will affect their eternal life. And so I, along with the pastors and leaders of the church, are asking you, would you take these and use them? And at the very least, post it on Facebook or somewhere. That's the minimum. But would you go to your neighbors and maybe bake really good cookies? And take them some and say, I just want you to join me this year on a Monday night at 7 o'clock. How many of y'all think you might be able to do that? Yeah, come on, like just take a shot. Let's do it together. Let's fill this place with people looking for good news and great joy for all people. That's what they're looking for here. And that's what we want to give them. And where does this joy come from? It comes from knowing God. In John 17, 1, Jesus read letters here, and he said all these things. He looked up to heaven, and he said, Father, the hour has come. Glorify your Son so he could give glory back to you. And then he says in verse 3, and this is the way to have eternal life, to know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, the one you sent. This is the way to have joy. It's knowing God. Knowing Him. But we forget that. Because we've just kind of settled for this is as good as it can get. This is kind of where I live. Rather than know, God has called me to live higher. He's called me to live victorious. He's called me to live with a different mindset. But knowing him experientially, firsthand acquaintance. And there's like a New Testament word for know. And then there's like in the, it's beyond factual knowledge. It's beyond the facts. But in this context, Jesus was speaking in the Hebrew text of knowing, and it's knowing beyond just what you know in your mind. It's experiencing Him. And then in the New Testament, it's all about experiencing Him in a personal relationship. A personal relationship with God the Father is the birthright of every Christian. Can't get that anywhere else. And the only way you know about Him is to experience Him. How many of you have ever seen a Christmas cookie that looked real good? But after you bit into it, it wasn't so good. Okay? How many of you have ever seen a Christmas cookie and it was all that and then some? And you can't get enough of it. See, that's the one people are looking for. When you experience Him, you want more. And we all have had this happen to us in different ways. But once you experience Him, and once you know Him, the false stuff, it's very evident what doesn't equal up to who God really is and who God isn't. You can tell the real from the fake. And in the movie Elf, there's this moment where Buddy the Elf knows the real Santa because he's been with him. He's experienced him. And then we're going to see what happens when he encounters an imposter. Let's take a look.
Santa.
Hey, hey! Ho, ho, ho!
Who the heck are you?
What are you talking about? I'm Santa Claus.
No, you're not.
Why, of course I am.
Well, if you're Santa,
What song did I sing for you on your birthday this year?
Happy birthday, of course. how old are you, son?
Four.
You're a big boy. What's your name?
Paul.
And what can I get you for Christmas?
Don't tell him what you want. He's a liar.
Let the kid talk.
You disgust me. How can you live with yourself?
Just cool it, Zippy.
You sit on a throne of lies.
Look, I'm not kidding.
You're a fake.
I'm a fake?
Yes.
How'd you like to be dead? Huh? No, he's kidding.
You stink.
I think you're gonna have a good Christmas, all right?
You smell like beef and cheese. You don't smell like Santa.
Okay, go.
He's a bastard! He's a fake! He's a fake!
Come here!
I swear! He's a fake!
See, once you experience the real deal with God, all the imposter stuff doesn't work. And we should learn to spot the things that are offering us joy but can't provide real joy. But unfortunately, many of us, we still keep looking to things on this earth to provide for us real joy, real happiness, but they can't. We're looking for the right job. We're looking for maybe the right gift or the right thing or the right house or the right car, and nothing's just right when really what we had was just right all along. His name is Jesus. But somehow the more mature we get, the more we serve God, the longer we're in church, the further away those things feel. And we start to look to imposters to give us what only God can give us: good news and great joy. And maybe that's what God's trying to say to us in Christmas at the movies today, is that good news and great joy really come from God the Father, and they don't come in all that other stuff. And I wish I could change some of the situations in your life right now. I wish I could change all your memories of Christmas has gone bad. And I wish I could change relationships that have gone bad. And I wish I could change the fact that maybe parents have gone on to be with God, or maybe your parents aren't here, or I wish I could change your financial situation. But I can't do that. But what I do have to offer you is far above and beyond anything like that. And if we'll just stop and still our hearts once again and remember the good news and allow God to fill our hearts once again with that joy, that's what we're really looking for. Buddy the elf did not fit into this world. He didn't dress like the world. He didn't act like the world. He was joyful unlike the world. We were not meant to fit into the world. We were not meant to be that. We don't fit. As a matter of fact, parents out there, stop telling your kids they're special. Tell them they're different. No, I'm serious. We live differently. We have a different set of standards. We come from a different world. And so when you watch this movie with them, maybe you stop and say, we're from a different world. We're from heaven. We have a different destiny. We have a different mindset now. And Buddy the Elf did not allow all the stuff of this world crowd out his joy. He just kept going with it. Maybe that's how you and me, that's what we need to do. So how do we get more of God? In John 14, 21, Jesus is saying, those who keep my commandments and obey me are the ones that love me, and the ones who love me are going to be loved by my Father, and they're going to get more revelation from God. To reveal means cause to shine and make known and come into view. See, when you love God, and I'm going to tell you, it's easy for me. It's easy to slip into obligation rather than anticipation and expectation. Face it, a lot of us this year at Christmas time, don't we fulfill a lot of obligations? I got a disobligation, I got disobligation. What if we switched it and says, wait a minute, when we come here on Sundays, maybe let's not come out of obligation, let's come out of anticipation and expectation. That's what needs to be restored. And when we restore that, it's like, yeah, I don't have to show up at church. I get to. I get to have joy. You see, and I get to turn a moment into a movement. I don't think the enemy of our soul, the devil, cares if we have good moments with God. I don't even think the devil in heaven this morning was going, oh, they're worshiping. I don't. But when we turn our moments into movement, then we can irritate the devil and please God. So let me give you an example, not the example, of a way we can turn a moment into a movement. And in beginning of January here, actually right before the clock strikes 12 on New Year's Eve, we're going to get together and worship God on New Year's Eve. But then in January, the first 3 weeks, we're going to have prayer and fasting for 3 days each week. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, we're going to do without food and we're going to focus on God. We're going to turn off our TVs. We're going to turn off all social media. And we're going to spend time with God. We're going to shut off all that stuff. And we're not going to stuff ourselves with food. We're going to go on not just a diet. See, if all you do is do without food, that's called a diet. But when you do without food and you pray, that's called fasting. And we're going to fast. And I know what some of you are thinking. We're only fasting 3 days. That's not much. Well, you're free to fast the whole month. I'm good. What we're trying to do is we're going to break it up on Sunday nights, we're going to get together at different locations and we're going to worship God together. We're going to get together. We're just going to worship God. We're going to hear a short exhortation on fasting and how we're going to pray that week. And then from that Sunday night all the way through to Wednesday, then we're going to have prayer at each campus. So it'll be prayer right here on each Wednesday, the first three Wednesdays. And so between those times, we're going to do without food, do without TV, do without all distractions. We're going to like go strictly and let God reveal himself to us afresh. No, see, if you want to get a revelation from God, you can't keep doing the same thing you've been doing. And so we just said we're going to do it different this year. So we're going to do three days each week. And there's all kinds of the QR codes on there, give you all kinds of resources on fasting and prayer. We're going to give you what to pray for each day of the week with scripture for your family, for kids, for people far from God. Because we're launching the year with a time of freedom in Christ. And then on there also what you're going to find is you're going to find a plan to read through the Bible in 1 year. And on our website, that QR code, if you get it right now, there's three different plans. There's a 5-day-a-week plan, 6-day-a-week, or 7-day-a-week plan. Like 2 years ago, did one 6 days a week because I figured if I miss one, I'm good. I built in 1 day. I'm going to miss. And then this year, I'm doing a 5-day-a-week. Here's the sophistication of my plan. I hit print. I check off each day. I just check off each day. This is how sophisticated this is. I'm old school. I know some of you want one on your phone. Listen, I like the paper. I like to read. But what I'm trying to tell you is we can't keep doing the same thing and expect different results. If we want God to reveal himself to us and let this good news of great joy for all people really become our mantra, you can do this. Many people in the room right now, you have already bought into the lie, you'll never be able to read through the Bible in a year. You can read through the Bible in a year. You can do it. I believe you can do it. If I can do it, I'm confident anybody can do it. And I'm not being smite with it. I'm being honest. If I can get up every day and just sit with God for like 15 minutes and just read through, I know you can do it too. And how many of you all believe that if you read the Bible through in a year, at the end of the year, you wouldn't be any worse off? How many believe you might even be better? Just a thought. So I'm doing 5 days a week. It's a little more each day, but he gives me a little bit of wiggle room on days like Sunday mornings and things so I can focus on the word here. But I'm asking you to join us to do something different and allow God to reveal himself afresh to us. See, that's how we turn moments into movements. See, the shepherds heard, they heard the angels, glory to God in the highest and good news and all people. And then let's look at what they did in verse 16. They hurried to the village. Right there, if you're reading, I want you to highlight, they hurried. They didn't, know what they didn't say? They didn't say, wow, did you hear that choir? Wow. They didn't say, wow, that was a good message. That was a good message. They didn't go to Pastor John and say, good message, Pastor. Good message. They didn't go to the worship team and say, wow, worship team, you all did so good today. Matter of fact, you did so good, so I don't have to. The shepherds hurried and obeyed. I want you to catch this. We're looking for the revelation of God, but it happens as we go. If we love him, we obey him, and we know him, and he reveals more of himself to us. This is the heart of Pastor John and Christine and all the leaders here and all the group leaders and all the team leaders. It's a heart to know God. And I said it before, I'm going to say it again. Pastor John's a great preacher, but I know his heart. If it's not moving us to do something, he doesn't want anything to do with it. See, that's the heart. Like, and see, we miss these moments to movements because we stop here and we say, wow, that was good. You got to catch. So no, I'm going to hurry and go find somebody. As a matter of fact, give me a stack of these, Pastor. We're going to go down to Giant Eagle, and we're going to find some people. We can not only give them an invitation, we're going to just go and buy people groceries today. You mean we can do that? Yeah. Just don't be creepy about it. No, see what I'm saying is we missed the movement. And so they hurried. Look what they did here. They hurried to the village, and who did they find? Yeah. And there was this baby lying in the manger. They found exactly what God said they would find. Are you tracking this? This is revolutionary. They found exactly what God said they would find, and we will find exactly what God intends us to find when we simply hurry along and we go to where he tells us to be and we allow the moment to turn into a movement. I'm so glad the shepherds didn't say, that was a great message from the angels, great choir. Wow, okay, let's just go back to tending the sheep. I'm so glad they didn't say, hey, God, anything you ask except for babies in a manger. We'll do whatever you ask except for babies in a manger. If the moment you ask for us to go look at a baby in a manger, we're not going. And I'm so glad they didn't just stay. I'm so glad they didn't just stay. And they were like, I mean, they were out in the fields. They didn't have coverage. They were like, I would post this, but I can't. I wanted to post this message, but they couldn't. I'm so glad they didn't say, well, when we get to town, we'll log on. If they would have stayed in their fields, we wouldn't be reading about them right now. They wouldn't have saw Jesus. And many of us are missing Jesus because we stay in the moment rather than the movement. Many of us are missing him. We're missing who he is. And not only that, after seeing him, the shepherds told everyone good news for all people. All people. All people. We're going to go and we're going to tell all people. We're going to find all people. That's what we're going to do. They hurried. And when they told other people, that's for dramatic effect. Now that I have your attention. Other people were astonished. We want other people to be astonished with God, but we're not sharing with all people. Hey, join me. You know, sometimes we make it more complicated than it really needs to be. There's this moment in Mark where Jesus' disciples are pushing kids away. And they're pushing the kids away. And Jesus says in Mark, he sees and he's angry with his disciples. He said, let the children come to me. Don't stop them. For the kingdom of God belongs to those who are like these children. I tell you the truth. Anyone who doesn't receive the kingdom of God like a child can never enter it. And he took the kids up in his arms and he blessed them. This has been my prayer all year, since May. God, don't let me lose the wide-eyed wonder of who you are. I didn't say childish, but we need to go back to being childlike, and there's a difference. You know when little kids see Santa, or they see the lights in the Christmas? Light up. When we see something new, it just becomes wow. And somewhere along the way, the world has literally beat the life out of us. And we stop being childlike. And we allow the problems to creep in and kill our great joy. Am I speaking to your heart this morning? We allow maybe unmet expectations and anticipations to just simply crush us. And this is what I've been doing, and I'm going to make a suggestion. I've just been trying to get up early again and just put the lights on the tree and just sit with my Bible open and coffee with Italian cream. And just allow the wide-eyed wonder of God to come upon me again. I just want to still my heart and remember the good news. I want to allow the great joy of God to just sift into my heart again. And you know what I've been finding? Telling other people about Jesus is fun again. It's just fun. Just telling people about him and how they can have him too. That's the message, Christmas. Let's still our hearts. Let's go back to the good news, great joy, and go tell everybody you know in whatever way you want about this Jesus again. Not just the rules and regulations, about the joy. Let's just still our hearts again. At the end of this movie, there's this moment where Santa's coming and Buddy the Elf's biological father, Walter, has this great epiphany and embraces him and affirms him as a son. It's really what we all long for. Let's take a look together.
Hey! You found it!
Buddy!
I need to tell you something.
I know, Buddy, there's something I have to tell you right now. I didn't mean anything I said back there, not a word. I know you may be a little, chemically imbalanced, but you've been right about a lot of things. I don't want you to leave. My son and I love you.
Can you stand to your feet with me this morning? Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for each and every person here, Lord God. And God, I pray for that embrace that Buddy got from his father there, Lord God, would be the embrace that God the Father gives each and every person here today, Lord. And so, God, we thank you for that. Lord God, we thank you. God, take us back to the effortless love with you and for you, God. And I just want to read a verse to you, Romans 8, verse 14, for all who are led by the Spirit of God are children of God. So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves, but you've received God's Spirit when he adopted you as his own children. Now we call him Abba, Father, for his Spirit joins with our spirit. So right now, God, in this moment, there are people in this room right now, God, that want to know you. They really want to experience you, not just know facts about you. So God, would you help us know who you are? So God, everybody here, would you give us the joy and good news and remind us of that? But I want to stop for a moment. And if you're here today and you don't have a day, a moment, or a time, when you've asked Jesus Christ, you've asked him, say, God, I want to know you. On the basis of what Jesus Christ has done for me on the cross, I want to ask you today, if you don't have a day or a moment, but you'd like today to be your moment where you begin that relationship where he's Abba, Father to you, where he embraces you and says, you're now my son, you're now my daughter, you're my child. If you want that today, you came to the right place. I just want you real simply, but yet boldly and joyfully, just to slip up your hand right where you are and just say, Pastor, that's me today. Is there anybody in the house today that just says, you know what? That's me today. I want to begin a relationship with God the Father. I want to be his child. I want to belong to him now. If there's anybody here at all, just slip up your hand. I'm going to pray for you right where you are. Heavenly Father, we thank you, Jesus. Thank you, God. So, Heavenly Father, I thank you, God, that next week and then on Christmas Eve, there's going to be many, many people meeting you for the first time, Lord God, that they could begin this relationship and receive the affirmation of the Father to their hearts, Lord God. Thank you for this great group of people. Let the joy and good news for all people be all over them this week in Jesus' name. Amen.